The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 30. Heads Up Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And tonight we are here to discuss The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 7, Episode Heads Up. And this was written by Channing Powell and directed by David Boyd.
Okay. Well, there's probably news, lots of news over what happened in this episode, but we'll skip that, of course, because we'll be talking about it. But ratings were up this week, and actually had more competition than normal, because the American Music Awards were on at the same time, but it still beat that, and it beat football. Walking Dead hasn't done that in quite some time, but it got a 6.7 in the 18 to 49. And that's up from 6.5 last week, and it got 13.224 million, and that's up about 350,000 from last week. Talking Dead, it was partially up and partially down. So the 18 to 49, it actually got a 1.5 in the 18 to 49, which is down from last week's 1.6. And it got 3.208 million, which is slightly up from 3.111 million. So that's it for news.
All right. Well, okay. So let's get to our host ratings for the week. Brian?
Well, I know that the ratings that we got on the Facebook page and hearing some other podcasts, my rating of this episode seems to be probably tied to how right I was. So anyway, I give this episode 9.5, which I know is high compared to everybody else, but 9.5 troubled teens with loaded concealed firearms. So,
okay, that's an interesting rating. I have to say, for this episode, I've gone back and forth and back and forth and back and then forth again about what exactly I want my rating to be. And I decided I'm going to have to split my rating into two distinct categories, because I am going to give the writers, directors, producers, showrunners, all that people in charge crap a 4 for this episode, because, well, it's going to be a 4. Just how stupid do you really think I am? I was so irritated with the way that they just blatantly, I don't know, it just felt like a slap in the face to me about how they chose to rescue Glenn. I was like, you know, because on the one hand, I'm really happy that he's still alive. Okay. I didn't want him to be dead. But then on the other hand, I was like, really? I mean, are you just, you threw a van off the bridge ridiculously and I allowed it, even though I didn't like it. But this just feels like, oh man, I didn't like this at all. But that point aside, the, you know, first 3 minutes or whatever, I liked the rest of the episode for the most part. So I felt very conflicted when I was trying to come up with a rating for this. So the rest of the episode and the fact that Glenn is alive, I give a 9.1 open-toed shoes.
I think we will talk about your rating in much more detail as we go, because I want to understand what your take on it is. Of course, we've got other ratings. Malika gives this episode 9 out of 10 dangling Spencers.
That's funny. Dangling Spencers. Sophie says, I rate it 8.5 whoppers.
Yeah, whoppers. Jeff gives it 7 lime green balloons.
Dieta says, my rating is 8.5 green balloons floating in the sky.
Kyle, and I was actually going to use this one, but that was going to be my second thing after the firearms thing. But Kyle said it instead. He gives it an 8 out of 10 terror bird flips.
That's so funny. I had Terra flipping Rick the Bird as one of my awesome sauce.
Yeah.
Okay. Faith says, I give it 8.5 tumbling pieces of wood.
And lastly, Judy gives it 8.5. Glad there was no Abraham hitting on Sasha scenes. Amen to that.
No doubt.
All right.
Okay. So let's move on to awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce.
What's your first awesome sauce?
Well, I kind of already went to it, but that he's alive. Alive! And I think it does affect my rating, but it was exactly as I predicted. He went under the dumpster. And there was also something I mentioned in JSS after JSS. It was in the thank you episode that maybe Enid would end up rescuing him. And although I wouldn't necessarily call what she did rescuing, unless she maybe threw a couple of cans.
I wouldn't call that rescuing at all, actually. I would say that was tossing a bottle of water at him.
Whatever.
Which is not exactly rescuing from his situation.
Semi-involved in his...
She returned. I'll give you that.
Yeah. She returned with him. Anyway, so she was there. So I'm going to still call it as mine anyway.
All right. Go ahead and delude yourself. It's cool.
Ooh. There's some tension in this episode. All right. What about you?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, my first awesome sauce has to be David's eyeball stuck to the fence.
Yeah. I didn't I didn't pick up on that until later, like another viewing or two. But then I saw it.
I saw that the first time. I was like, ew. But I thought it was funny. I liked it. So, you know.
Well, speaking of Glenn, this is semi-related, but my next awesome sauce was Maggie concluding that the balloons were a signal from Glenn, and I loved seeing her reaction to that.
That was pretty cool. I liked seeing the little floaty balloons in the sky. That was good, I thought. Okay, my next one, I already said it, but it's Tara flipping Rick the Bird.
Yeah, I love that too. Yeah, I've got some things to say about Rick this episode. And one of the things that, you know, is related to that was, of course, I can't help it, but, you know, Rick pulling down Gabriel's flyers.
Yeah, that was, you know, I almost felt sorry for him until I realized that I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely, what I liked about that particular scene was that, Carl is basically recognizing that his dad's being kind of a douche.
Well, he definitely was being a douche this episode.
Yeah.
Rick could have changed his name to Dick this episode.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, yeah, he was having a few moments. Okay, my next awesome sauce was them. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm having a morbid streak this week. It was the moldy cakes in the window of the, whatever, that little cafe where Enid was. And then we saw another JSS there that she had written on the, whatever, the order paper, tablet, whatever thing where waitresses take orders on. If they're in a little like hole in the wall diner like that.
I missed that.
Oh, well, there you go.
I did. I needed to watch this episode a sixth time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. Any other?
Nope. That's all. There's probably something, but I can't think of it.
We'll probably cover that in the discussion then. Speaking of the discussion.
I'd like to have a calm discussion on this topic. You think we can manage that? You think we can manage that?
Oh, no mixer.
Well,
darn. I feel like I should have sad trombones, except for we don't have a mixer to do the sad trombones.
Yeah, we should explain. I will add the discussion in, but we have no mixer this episode. It malfunctioned. So so
imagine the sad trombones playing.
Yes. Oh, now I have to put it in. So when you hear the sad trombone right now,
we were,
I added it in later.
Yeah, we were imagining that really hard. So hard that you could actually hear it. With the power of our minds. Gosh, I'm having a hard time with plurals today. I'm just so frustrated right now that I honestly, I'm not sure that I should be doing this podcast because I don't really have that many nice things to say because I'm just so irritated with them right now. So let's get into our discussion. I'll let you start because I don't want to be a Debbie Downer the whole time.
Well, I think that this one is definitely going to be he said, she said, because, you know, I said it before. I loved it. Now, what I didn't love about it was how afterwards, you know, on Into the Badlands, which was probably why I watched the darn show, and on Talking Dead, how I think they should have said, we're sorry. But of course, they never did. You know, they were kind of pussyfooting around it. Like, okay, you didn't like it, but are you happy that he's back?
Well, of course I'm happy he's back. That's why I'm so pissed off, because they took something that I dearly, dearly, dearly wanted and just waved a little magic wand and made it happen. And this isn't that kind of a show. And that's what really, 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 really made me mad about it, because you cannot just completely and blatantly disregard the rules of your own universe that you set up and expect me to just be okay with it and give you a pass every single time. I feel like I've been giving them a pass a lot lately, and I want them to actually be worthy of my admiration and the respect and the love that I have for this show instead of just slapping me in the face. You know, I mean, okay, here's my beef with his escape. When they fell off of the dumpster, and then you see the next like clip that we actually get to see, as far as not, you know, ambiguity or whatever, is it shows Glenn is laying one way and Nicholas is laying crosswise from him. So why didn't Glenn get bit? There were legs exposed. Arms exposed, part of his chest was exposed. The walkers were surrounding them completely. And I don't think that anyone said, other than the writers, directors, producers, showrunners, I don't think anybody else said, hey, you know, there's a moratorium on biting Glenn, so you walker extras, don't do that.
So what, you think that there was too much of him exposed?
No way in hell that he would have gotten out of that situation and not have been bitten or instantly have his flesh torn into. I mean, how exactly was he supposed to get out of that without any kind of repercussion to his health? I guess. I don't know. I just, man.
Well,
I just want someone to explain to me how he got out of that without getting bit.
I think the amount of time that he was exposed was minimal compared to what we actually saw. I think that things were
Compared to what? Compared to Nicholas? Because they were exposed for the same amount of time, yeah, as far as I know. I mean,
yeah, and I think the amount of time was less than it seemed.
Sure, it might have been less than it seemed, but I still go back to how come they instantly tore into Nick, but not Glenn? Other than we don't want that to happen, and so we're just not going to have that happen.
He was on top.
Of what? His stomach? Nicholas was lying on top of basically like a portion of his midsection. I mean, we've seen walkers bite off people's faces before. We've seen them tear into almost every or any part of a person. But somehow, Nicholas got eaten and Glenn didn't. That is my problem with this episode. I wanted something that would be a little bit more, well, I mean, it's hard to say realistic in a show about zombies, but, you know, a little more following their own rules, I guess. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of them breaking the rules that they have created for their universe. I mean, like I've said time and time again, you create your universe, you make your rules, and I will buy into it every time. But when you start breaking your own rules and just throwing it back in our face, I'm sorry, but I'm smarter than that, and I don't want you... I feel like I'm being disrespected when they are... Maybe I don't know. It irritated me.
I don't know what to say.
I don't think there is anything to say, because I'm not going to change my mind about how I feel about that portion of this episode. I mean, this is like a billion times worse than the van falling off the bridge for me. I just can't... I don't know. It's like, I'm glad that you guys had this awesome concept that you wanted to do and have us, you know, whatever, pull a fast one on us, take his name out of the credits, blah, 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 whatever. I don't have any idea if that had anything to do with how they were doing the show or if it was in his contract that for the times that he was going to be off the show or what. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, but I just feel like it could have been, the execution could have been a lot better. And I don't know exactly how, but then I don't write for a TV show.
I will agree that the execution could have been better. They could have left it with less space. There was more exposed than I thought there would be, but I didn't have the same problem with it you did. I had lots of problems with it. Let me say the problems that I had with it had more to do with what wasn't on the show than what was on the show. And what I mean by that is all the stuff that the network and the, you know, Talking Dead and the press coverage and all of that handled the situation.
Yeah.
I think that I've done some thinking about this, like how they could have handled this better. I would say one thing. I think that the whole situation would have been better if at episode 3, if they had instead showed, or actually not shown anything, if they had just made it so that there was a thank you and a shot.
And then maybe I would have been okay with them stopping at them falling off of the dumpster.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, and then just make it so that we have no idea how they escaped, but they escaped. I would even be okay with that.
Yeah.
I might be like, you know, it might irritate me also, but not nearly as much as this did. It just felt gimmicky.
Yeah, it did. And they showed in thank you. I think they showed too much. And then there was all that, you know, like acting like he's dead, but they didn't want to say he's dead. Made me wonder if the network was worried that they might get sued if they said that he was dead and then he turned out that he wasn't dead.
How could the network get sued? That seems...
a class action, you know?
For what?
People fanatical about the show, even more fanatical than we are.
Any judge that took any kind of seriousness for that kind of if I were a judge, I would have thrown that case out and probably thrown you in jail for contempt of court for bringing such a stupid lawsuit and wasting my time and the people's time with that kind of crap.
Well, I don't know if that's personally. I don't know if that's why they did what they did, but
and if that's the kind of society that we live in nowadays, where we have to be afraid that to write a TV show in a good way because someone might sue us, then maybe I should just quit watching TV because that's ridiculous.
I would have liked to have seen on Talking Dead them say, "We're sorry." You know, like, "We're sorry for making you think he might be dead, for those of you who thought he was dead," you know. But of course, they just kind of, you know,
well, they kind of
talking about how good the fans are and, you know, "Thank you for, you know, being such good fans and how incredible it was to have this phenomenon and how people were talking about TV again and blah, 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 blah." It's like, whatever.
Personally,
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I wasn't really. Here's what I thought when I was watching Talking Dead. And this is probably one of the only times that I've ever really been not thrilled about Talking Dead, honestly, because I was thinking to myself as I was watching that episode, man, am I glad that I am not in any way, shape, or form affiliated with AMC or The Walking Dead, except for this podcast that I do, because I would not be able to kiss butt that much.
And, you know, I even had an issue like, what's his name? Ken Chung was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Chris Hardwick asked him what you thought of it. Like, you know, and he said, you know, "Oh, it was totally satisfying." And I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Totally satisfying? I don't think you can say it was totally satisfying, considering the fact that we had to wait so long to actually find out if he was dead or alive.
Yeah, the payoff just did not match the buildup at all, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was really, I mean, it was just, I don't know. It's just badly, badly, badly executed.
Talking about this is making my rating go down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make your rating go down. I just can't do it. We've said it before. I am not, like, I'm a fangirl, but I will call you on your, you know what.
Yeah.
So don't try and pull one over on me because I am not stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a feeling that my rating was partially just patting myself on the back for being so smart to figuring out exactly what they did. And whatever. So I give 2 ratings points to my ego.
That's funny. Well, you know, and like I said, there were other parts of the episode that I really liked. So,
yes.
And I was not, see, that's why I feel so mad about it, because I'm happy that Glenn's alive. It's not that in any way, shape, or form. I don't want Glenn to be dead. Let me just get that clear. I don't want Glenn to be dead. But if that's how you had to keep him alive, I would rather he were dead, because that is not real according to the world that you have created. And I need you to be true to your own creation.
Right. Well, I don't know. Is there anything more to say about this? You deeply were affected by it. I liked it a lot more than you did, but I totally respect and understand why you feel the way you do. And even talking about it makes me want to take it down, my rating down a peg. So, but I don't know.
You know, his name was back in the credits.
Well, yeah.
Which I felt like was kind of jerking our chain. I don't know. I don't know. I'm willing to buy into everything, but just not that. Like, just not.
I said it before. I absolutely love this show. I love it so much. And, you know, it's probably one of my favorite things on this planet at this point. And, yet, you know, I have to say, don't ever do anything like this again, because, you know, if they do, I don't know if I'm going to look at it the same way as I did this time. So
let's move on from our angsty grumpiness. At least it's my angsty grumpiness. I'm feeling very angsty grumpy because, I mean, I watched it a second time and I still felt the same way. So I was like, ah.
Well, there's a lot more to say about Glenn and his return. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like I said, the rest of it, I was okay with. I liked the, you know, the whole stuff that was happening in Alexandria for the most part. It was just really overshadowed by that stupid decision they made.
Well, what did you think about Enid being there? And okay, so she didn't really rescue him, but
she didn't rescue him at all.
I don't know what to call it. Of course, she didn't saw rescue him.
She ran into him. She threw water at him.
Which was kind of stupid.
I said, heads up. Like, okay, because everyone is expecting a water bottle to come flying out of the sky. And a last second right before it hits heads up is totally justified in you being mad that they didn't hear this last second, like right before it hits you in the head or whatever, heads up, that you can be mad about that, you know, and like, well, I said, that's completely believable that she should be mad about that. Whatever. But other than that, I don't know. Honestly, sometimes I don't get her because I'm like, so you don't like big groups, you don't like communities or whatever, but what, how? I mean, I guess she's been surviving on her own for long enough that she obviously kind of knows what she's doing, but I just want to say to her, I just want to grab her and shake her a little bit. Don't you understand safety in numbers? I mean, come on.
Well, clearly she doesn't.
But especially from people who aren't trying to rape or murder or eat you. So
I couldn't help but think about it. And, you know, I was, I think I thought of this when I was on my way home. This half season, and I know this is going to carry on for the next episode. But then also the season of Fear the Walking Dead would be the half year of teenage angst in the zombie apocalypse. Between the two shows, nothing but angsty teenagers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think the main thing that you have to come the main conclusion you have to come with Enid is she is one weird person.
Well, I think she's scared, honestly. And I liked the rest of, like I said, I liked the rest of their interaction. I especially liked at the end when she's like, I don't need a lecture. And Glenn is like, yeah, I think you do. Or when she's like, I'm not scared. And he's like, I think you are. And she's like, I really appreciated him basically just calling her out on her bull crap, you know?
Yeah.
She is trying to, I guess, just present a, you know, tough exterior, a hardened outer shell or whatever. Basically, I don't need anybody kind of a thing. I can take care of myself, all that stuff. And I get that. But at the same time, I'm like, everybody needs somebody at least every once in a while, especially in the zombie apocalypse. So I think when you find a group of semi-decent people, like I said, who aren't trying to, you know, rape, kill, or eat you, maybe you should make friends.
I think that Enid, and I think Glenn kind of talks about this a little bit, but Enid hasn't learned that she hasn't learned how to live. Like she's just fatalist that, you know, she's just stuck on everyone dies and
she's afraid of being attached again because people leave you when you get attached, I guess. I don't
know. Yeah. And Glenn's comment about, you know, like you
honor the living,
honor the dead by, right, you know, continuing to live, you know, I thought of Herschel when he said that. And it was also kind of sad when he was talking about, like, he was asking about her parents, I think. And
well, she said
she was an orphan.
Yeah, she said she was an orphan. And he said, me too, I guess.
Yeah. Which, me too, probably.
Yeah. Which, yeah, you know, it's probably right, which is sad, but true. That's the truth of this world.
I don't know if we ever heard Glenn say that. I mean, I always thought that that was probably the case with him.
It's probably the case with everybody. I mean, people who you are not, like, are not in your immediate vicinity, for all you know, they're probably dead.
Yeah.
It's very sad, but I mean, it's true. I felt like that was kind of a theme for this episode, actually, about how to go on living and what to do. You know, like, I mean, Glenn wasn't the only one who said something to that effect about honoring the dead by continuing to live and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
Seemed like a recurring theme for this episode. Like they're trying to figure out how to go on without the people that they used to have or whatever.
And to that, I will say that it was kind of sad when Glenn was kind of walking about the town, whatever that town is, and seeing Nicholas and David.
And the note.
And of course, and the note. And of course, you know, David was kind of a parallel to Glenn and Maggie, David and Betsy, I guess, you know, that they met each other after the apocalypse and had fallen in love and gotten married. And, in the case of those two, they didn't live, you know, they both died. And, you know,
yep.
Hopefully both of them will live past next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
I have a feeling that many characters will not survive next week, but I don't know for sure. One other thing I was going to say is, and this is kind of a comic book spoiler, but I don't think that this is like many issues past where they are in the comic book now, you know, compared to where the show is.
So it's not something that like just came out.
No. But right. What I'm saying is like in the, like, I know Spencer's climbing of the high wire or whatever. That was in episode 81. I saw that on StorySync and I think they're in the 147 ish, something like that.
I thought 148 just came out. Someone said
148. Okay.
Who knows? Anyway,
148. But, it was around, I don't know, in the 50s or 60s, I guess, that after Carol died in the comic book, Glenn and Maggie became guardians of Sophia. So I wonder if they're going to become guardians of Enid, because Enid needs guardians. She needs she needs some parenting, I think. And, you know, now that Glenn and Maggie are expecting. And Glenn was kind of being a parental figure with Enid in this episode, I thought.
He was,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder, I would kind of like that if that ends up being the case.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. I was kind of like, why is she just seems so much more bitchy this episode? But, and then on the other hand, I was like, well, maybe it's just a defense mechanism. But then I was like, man, really? When she says, think your wife wouldn't want me to kill it? I'm like, what kind of a statement is that? I mean, what? It's like you're living on a different planet, Enid. Where have you been for the last, I don't know how long they've been in Alexandria, but like for the last minute at least, that you think that anyone in Rick's group is going to be mad that you put down a walker, except for Morgan. But even Morgan isn't going to be mad about it. So I was just like, really? I mean, that was my really moment. I was like, think your wife wouldn't have wanted me to kill it. I don't know. I was like, oh my gosh. I guess maybe it goes back to that stupid angsty teenager crap that I'm just like, ugh, eye roll.
The Walking Dead, now on CW.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was like, man, extra bitchy this episode. Okay. Probably it was just a defense mechanism because she's scared. But at the same time, I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She was being rather bitchy and, angsty.
Yeah. Extra. So have we beat the Glenn and Enid story horse to death?
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about Maggie when we talk about Glenn, but I did have a Maggie comment.
All right.
Okay. And of course we already mentioned Maggie in the awesome sauce, but one other thing I got a kick out of when, she was talking to Rick and she said that she noticed that, Judith was, starting to look like Lori.
No mention.
Yeah, the funny thing was, all I could think of is Shane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's starting to look a lot like Lori,
yeah,
her mother that we know for sure because that's where she came out of. But we have no idea, yeah, who her dad is.
Yeah. She's looking a lot like Lori, but, you know, she seems to have large ears.
Yeah, she looks like a manic serial killer. So did she get that from you or her other dad?
One could wonder.
Who knows, really? I mean, all we can do is speculate. There's no one has said with any certainty that I'm aware of, anyway, that Judith is in fact Shane's. Much speculation on the topic, but no,
I don't think,
hard and fast reveal.
Yeah, so, unless Denise can perform a DNA test.
Yeah,
which, I don't think that they're going to find out. No,
it could happen. We don't know.
It could. It could.
I think this show might have to take a different turn for that to be the case, though. But so let's talk about that first, or the post cold open scene, or I guess segment. There were a couple different scenes. Father Gabriel is hanging up flyers or little paper poster, whatever thingies that I'm impressed that they actually managed to print. And Rick comes along and just rips it off. And then Carl is like, "Dad," or whatever. I feel like that little scene right there conveyed so much with just barely, you know, barely anything in it, but yet it said so much. Like, Rick still has not forgiven Father Gabriel, obviously, or at least I think that's obvious. I don't know. But Carl, the person who everybody was calling the little, you know, little psychopath, murderer, killer, whatever, because when he just out and out killed that kid who was, you know, trying to surrender, we think, air quotes here, because we're not really sure. But he has a, you know, it's appearing as though he's going to, I guess, forgive Father Gabriel. I don't know. So why do you think that, why do you think Rick is tearing, why do you think Rick tears that stuff down that he's putting up?
Because he has taste.
Because what?
Because he has taste. And I don't know. I'd still, there hasn't been that much time, if you recall, when Gabriel, you know, said those things about their group. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really maybe a couple of days tops. There hasn't been much time.
We assume, anyway. We're not exactly entirely certain how much time passed between the quarry and the end of season 5. We know that they discovered the quarry right after the end of season 5 because they went off to go dump Pete's body in the wherever. So that's when they found the quarry. That was relatively quickly after. What we don't know is how much time they spent on preparing, I guess, for the quarry. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that could have been anywhere from a couple of days to like a month or something. We just don't really know.
Yeah, I don't think it was anywhere near that.
It probably wasn't, but we don't know.
Well, I know.
I have some knowledge that no one else has.
No, I'm kidding, but I would say it's definitely been less than a week.
See, I don't know. I think it could. I mean, it could have been a couple of weeks, I think, but I don't know.
I think that Gabriel still needs to have that conversation about how he feels and all of that he had with Carl. And it's pretty clear to me that conversation has not happened with Rick and probably the rest of the Atlanta group, you know.
Well, he definitely needs to have a come to Jesus moment.
No pun intended. Yeah, but you know, I love any moment with Gabriel, but you know, it is almost to the point where you could almost feel bad for him, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, I think that honestly, I think that reflects more on Rick than it does on Father Gabriel. We know Father Gabriel is a good for nothing screw up who can't take care of himself and then turned on the only people who tried to help him out. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, really, Rick, aren't we better than that? So that's kind of what I was thinking about that. Like, that is just childish behavior. And for your child to call you out on it shows exactly how childish it is.
Well, and maybe this is a good segue, but I mean, Rick, this was Rick's week, or Rick's episode to be Dick, you know? And of course, Rick, Richard, Dick, you know, it can all be the same name. And of course, he was being Dick Grimes this week and not Rick Grimes. He literally, you know, all the things that he said, you know, he was kind of not wanting to bring in the group, the Alexandria group, and the plans to thin out the walkers. And, you know, Michonne, you know, saying, really, really? And,
yeah,
you know,
Michonne called him out too. Yeah.
Of course, his reaction to Tara, you know, and I actually hated what he said to her. You know, you almost died once for these people, like these people. And of course, she was absolutely right in flipping him the bird, because that was really
that's hilarious, though.
That was really a dick move. That was not a good thing to say. It just.
Well, the problem is it's divisive, not.
Yes.
It's the opposite of what you want to have happen right now. And I don't understand why he doesn't realize that, because he is a leader and he does understand, you know, those types of certain aspects about being in charge. And, you know, sometimes it's hard and all that jazz. But he's just, I don't understand what's going on with him right now. Honestly, I'm just kind of like, why are you feeling this need to, like, I mean, if you were a dog, you'd be peeing all over everything. Just, you know, mark your territory, assert your dominance, whatever kind of a stuff. We get it. You're top dog. You know, you are the BAMF of the episode, or the BAMF, the male BAMF of the show. So you don't have to be all, you know, like that. Honestly, it is not the Alexandrians' fault that a herd of walkers heard that horn and were drawn over here. You know, it's, I feel like he is sort of, I don't know, punishing them or something, and just being sort of a pouty face, I guess. And I just, I'm kind of like, ugh. He's being an angsty teenager too, I think, sort of. He's getting a little tail, and he's, getting a little too big for his britches.
Well, you know, it's funny that I thought of this, yeah, he's getting a little tail. And of course, Jessie's, I hate to say it, but she's not the best mom, you know, because of course she's got, Porch Dick Jr. going around doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And you've got Sam and all the problems that he's having. And what is she doing? She's making owls again. She's not, you know, spending time, you know, fixing up the things that need to be fixed up. She's working on her owls. And it's just like, okay. I don't know. So
I don't know either. Yeah, Rick is definitely, I mean, and it's clear with his us and them language, and, you know, the other, I guess, I don't know, which guy, native Atlanteans or whatever, they're noticing it. You know, they're also not dumb. They're picking up on it. And I don't think that they approve, honestly. I think that he is going to lose them, and he's not going to, certainly not going to endear himself to any of the Alexandrians by carrying on in such a manner. But I think he's going to lose a little bit of the respect that his own people have for him as well if he continues carrying on with the whole us and them thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very surprising, especially, like, you know, what he said to Michonne and that whole really, really response that she had with him. That was one thing. But when that whole scene with Spencer was going on and his response to Tara, you know, I was kind of shocked that he said that. I was like,
yeah,
wow, that's really harsh.
Yeah.
And I think Spencer made a point that, you know, cause he said to Spencer, you know, you got an idea, you come to me. And Spencer says, would you know, would you have even listened to me?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, you know, and well, okay, so it was a question, not really a statement, but Spencer's not wrong about that sentiment anyway. He fully recognizes that there's not a snowball's chance in hell that Rick would have taken anything that he had to say seriously. So I thought, okay, grade A class idiot on the one hand, but then on the other hand, I'm like, well, I guess, I mean, the problem is these people are just, when I was watching this the second time, I wrote down sheer dumb luck.
Yes. Where Spencer aired, I think, was primarily, I think he aired more than just this, but he aired by not telling anybody.
Yeah.
He should have had people on the lookout, you know, supporting him, you know, trying to divert the walkers while he was trying to do it.
Yeah.
And instead he goes over alone.
A little bit of coordinating would have gone a long way.
And for that matter, I mean, I don't know how much Spencer weighs, but he's a pretty tall guy. So he must be, you know, probably over 200 pounds. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a good guess.
So he's probably not the best person to do that type of maneuver. Someone right. who's smaller and lighter would have been better at that.
More experienced climber.
Well, yes. And what's worse is, you know, I think his escapade helped to take the church down. The tumbling of the church was going on throughout the episode.
Yeah.
Something I wasn't particularly paying attention to as it was going on. But, you know, when it got to the end. And by the way, I picked up on this like later on. The music that was playing both at the start, like when Glenn, you know, emerges, yes. And it was the same music that was playing at the end, that kind of like, you know,
ethereal, dreamy
kind of music. And it was so, I loved how that music at the end. It just was so,
it seemed hopeful to me, but then when you watch what's going on, you're like, oh crap.
Well, and it started out being hopeful, you know,
because
the green balloons are, yeah. And then of course, then it ends up on a very hopeless
note. Yeah, I agree. I thought, oh man, this show just it builds you up and then just smacks you back down. Always got to snatch the hope away. So, but
yeah, loves to do that.
Yeah. And you know, it's part of what makes for good drama, but I like the green balloons at the end. And I like that Maggie instantly knew what it was, because I instantly knew what it was too. I was like, oh, there's Glenn's sign. That's his sign. It's right there. There it is. I thought it was great. Okay. We've kind of been all over the place. Let's talk a little bit about Morgan, I guess.
Well, Morgan, I liked that conversation that they had, at the table with Rick and Rick Michonne. Was it Rick Michonne? Carol and Morgan.
So yep, I think so.
Those four. Mm-hmm. And I liked, like, I think if anyone else did what he did, there would have been much different repercussions there. But I think Rick and you know, definitely I would say Rick and Michonne to a lesser extent, maybe not so much Carol, but certainly Rick have the utmost respect for Morgan. And of course, you know, Rick, if it wasn't for Morgan, Rick wouldn't be there. So, so he gives Morgan a lot of leeway where he wouldn't give anyone else, probably would have been exiled, I think. But I liked how Morgan, you know, first he didn't lie. He's like, yes, I did. And he admitted how he's having trouble with the whole I call it the Eastman doctrine that he is, you know, he wanted to kill those guys and, that he was struggling with it. And, you know, but he also indicates, you know, how much it means to him, you know, the not killing and, how it, you know, we all saw how he was in Clear. He would have, and of course in Here's Not Here at the beginning of it, he would kill anyone that, would cross him. And, I also like that whole butterfly effect that he talks about because, you know, he says, you know, if he hadn't been there to rescue Aaron and Daryl, that maybe the wolves wouldn't have been there to attack. And
see, I appreciated what he was trying to say in this, but I felt like he was blaming himself, but not, I mean, blaming himself for the wrong thing, I guess, because I don't really, I think where he went wrong was when he let them live in the first place, the first encounter he had with them. Not because he saved Daryl and Aaron, and in turn, the backpack got left,
right,
which led, you know, to them finding the pictures, which of course is resulted in the attack, I guess, if you will,
right,
on Alexandria. So I'm like, well, you're not completely blameless, but it's the philosophy that has gotten everybody in trouble, but not because you saved Daryl and Aaron.
Yeah, that's a very good point, that if he had not let those two guys go at the very start of Conquer, last season finale, that they probably wouldn't have attacked.
Yeah, we'd have a very different story, I guess.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that I guess it's worth mentioning, I didn't have it in my notes, but now I have to think about it, is he also didn't mention, you know, anything about having that wolf in the cell.
Yeah, I was going to actually say something about that. I mean, I don't know what you can say, but other than the fact that how long is that going to be a secret, I guess. But then at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, well, based on what we saw at the very end of the episode, I'm not sure that it's really necessarily going to be a problem.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure it always does.
It depends on what we don't know at the end of the episode. We saw Carol go up to that building or whatever, and, you know, Morgan answers the door. And she says, you know, who in the hell you have in that cell? Mm-hmm. And we don't know if Carol, Morgan, and Denise are still there when the church falls down. So, you know, if they're still there when the walkers come in, that could potentially get pretty messy, you know, because if that wolf decides to try to, you know, take everything that's going on and try to escape, what's that?
Carol will just end him.
That's, you're probably right about that.
I'm not worried about Carol. I think that she'll just be like, whoosh, you're dead.
Yeah. If she ends up going in there, and that's the thing. We don't know
right. Exactly
what happens there. So
I just am not sure exactly how much trouble he's going to cause or going to be able to cause, because honestly, they're going to have their hands full with other things. And if that guy has any sense of self-preservation, he's also going to be concerned with other things. We don't know if he does because he's, you know, bat crap crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of going to be like a dangling, you know, story thread, I guess. Kind of like, I don't know. I'm not really sure where they can go with it, but.
Well, it is one of the many things that are in play mm-hmm. in this season or mid-season finale.
Yes.
Because he could.
Or will be, we should say.
Yeah.
We don't know yet sure.
For all intents and purposes, maybe he could end up dying and he could be a walker himself, mm-hmm. you know, a walker with a W.
Who knows? I liked the interchange between Morgan and Denise when he's in there talking to her and
Whoppers.
Yeah. And he, you know, I just, I don't know. I really just liked when he when she's trying to, you know, she's like, oh, that's my cheat sheet. And she's trying to, you know, project confidence in her abilities, but yet she's still kind of very uncertain. And, you know, because she does, she's like, okay, and now, you know, she's like, all right, I've got this cheat sheet and this, that, and the other. Now let's take a look at your, you know, your whatever injury you have or whatever. And of course the injury is not with him, which we already know, but I like how he just, you know, he's like, oh, tell me what it is, you know, covers it up. Tell me what it is, basically, you know, not like mocking her or anything, you know, or any kind of disparagement or anything like that. He just, I don't know. It felt like a very, very kind way for him to act or whatever. So in that regard, I have to say I'm not displeased with you know, the person that Eastman's philosophy has turned Morgan into.
Yeah.
I just am not sure how feasible it is to have that right now.
And you have, you know, the three of them confronting him, and you have, you know, Rick, who asks that question, you know, as they say, living now or something like that. Can you live without having blood on your hands? I don't remember the exact line.
I didn't get it. Every time he said it, I still didn't get it. And I didn't watch on closed caption this time. So,
yeah. Then, you know, you've got Carol, who is pretty much, you know,
kill them all.
Yeah. She's diametrically opposed. And then I think you have Michonne, who's probably closest to Morgan's philosophy. She's a lot more pragmatic, I think, but she, you know, all of them, Morgan says how they've all changed, and he was 100% right. They have all changed. All four of them have changed over the course of the apocalypse. You know, you've got, you've got Carol, and, you know, she's transformed immensely over.
Yeah, I would say probably the most.
Yeah. You've got Rick, who, you know, of course, when he started, he was,
Sheriff's deputy.
Don't kill anybody. And
we don't kill the living.
Yeah, we don't kill the living. And then we have Michonne, who, you know, we didn't see her at the start, but, you know, she was very dark when she first runs into
Andrea.
And, you know, so they, and then of course she kind of comes back, and, you know, as she grows a bond, I think, with Carl and Rick especially, she discovers her humanity again. So they've all changed, I think, over the course of the last however many days that the apocalypse has occurred. I haven't looked at the Wikia Walking Dead, this page, to say how many days have occurred since the apocalypse. I remember that last time you looked, it was like 511 days or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, you know, it's probably 500 and something.
Yeah, it's, I think we're still a couple of years in, maybe a couple and a half. Who knows exactly? Yeah. But
depends on whether you're judging it by the growth of Carl or the growth of Judith.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's right. They all have changed. Some, well, honestly, everyone has changed, maybe except for the Alexandrians, because people are going to adapt to their situation. Some people for the better, some people for the worse. You know, I mean, there are those people who are not doing horrible, bad things now simply for fear of retribution, you know, and those are the people that you kind of have to watch out for, I think, in the zombie apocalypse, because they're going to be the ones that just don't care and I can do whatever I want now, kind of a thing. And, but then, you know, there are other people who will, I guess, sort of come into their own after the zombie apocalypse, which I would put Carol firmly in that category, and also Daryl. And who knows, maybe Morgan too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting dilemma, I think, and, you know, an interesting philosophical discussion. But at the same time, I'm like, the problem I have with his philosophy, at least the issue I take with it, I should say, is that you're not just looking out for yourself. What you do affects the other people that are with you. You know, the other people that you are existing with at this current moment in time are going to be perhaps dramatically affected by your actions. And so I'm not sure that you can, you know, it's like what Michonne says, it's not as simple as four words. And I mean, you can't just boil it down into that kind of a thing.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think that that the actions that he is going through right now affects the rest of them. And he can't do what he's doing in a vacuum.
In a vacuum, yeah.
Yes.
Right. No man is an island.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about really, really quickly Eugene and Rosita. Why is she being so mean to him, so harsh to him, or hard on him, or whatever? What do you think?
Well, it's a little bit of tough love. I think that there was a scene that was kind of subtle near the end where he's actually getting some instruction from her.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. But you've got Eugene who looks at it and says, you know, I think my talents are better used elsewhere. And clearly, I mean,
he said that.
Well, no, I that's my thought is that, you know, he's not the guy that you want swinging a machete. I mean, I guess you do if he's the last person, you know, there. But I would rather him figure out a way of launching a machete weapon or figuring out some way of getting the walkers away from Alexandria, you know.
Yeah.
I would love it if he is the guy that is on the walkie-talkie that is asking for help. And if he ends up teaming with Abraham, Sasha, and Daryl to use the tanker and the RPGs to get the walkers away. It would make total sense if he's the guy that's asking for help and can team with them because they have tools that will help get the walkers away.
Mm-hmm.
Both, you know, killing them right, you know, just with using the RPGs, but also blowing up that tanker, you know, a big explosion will, I think, divert a lot of them away.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I don't know. I understand the concept of tough love and all that kind of stuff. I just felt like she was being unduly harsh with him. And I didn't really like it. It felt like it was out of character for her that she would be that way with him, I guess. You know, I mean, for the longest time. And the thing about it is that's it's completely contrary to what they have already set up for, you know, they've babied him a lot. And suddenly I feel like
that's true.
You kind of, I mean, yeah, I get it. You got to cut the apron strings. But at the same time, like, what exactly are you expecting? Are you expecting him to just change overnight? Because that's not going to happen.
I think that the other thing that she was probably doing was if she was being that way to one of her people, the Alexandrians would take it more seriously, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. I can buy that. I can get behind that.
Yeah. That was a thought that I had.
Otherwise, though, I was like, oh, man, she's so mean. Why is she so mean to Eugene?
If she did the same thing to one of the Alexandrians, it would be taken a lot differently than her doing that to Eugene.
Yeah. She would get a serious pouty face.
Yeah.
From them.
Yeah. So.
All right. That's okay. Well, that makes sense. I can understand that. Otherwise, I was just like, oh, man, just picking on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And speaking of angsty.
Let's talk about Ron. Oh, man. So one of my coworkers was like, she said it appeared to her that Carl was kind of acting, I guess, kind of maybe aggressively or whatever towards Ron. Like he was trying to assert his dominance or whatever. I did not really pick up on that either time I watched it, honestly. I was kind of trying to look out for it the second time around, but I was like, no, still not getting it. What did you think?
I absolutely did. And I would even say that, you know, Carl needed to shut the hell up. Every time he would say something, Ron would give him this like look. And every time he would give this look, I'm like, man, he is his father's son. You know, you know, I said it last, was it not last week? I guess it was 2 weeks ago that, he's going to shoot Carl. He's going to shoot Carl. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of it now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, of course he goes and gets some bullets. I wrote down, of course Ron goes to get bullets.
And this seems to be the Dick episode, since we've mentioned Dick lots of times, but what a dick move. What a douche. Like, here he is saddling up with Rick and Carl, you know, getting the gun lessons and, you know, chumming up to them and, you know, letting Rick really, you know, show him what, you know, Rick's giving him good lessons. And especially, you know, that whole thing about, you know, putting the gun up to your eye. Cause that I remember when he said that, you know, what I thought of No Sanctuary. And you'll think, No Sanctuary, why would you think of that? Remember after they got out of the butcher shop there, the termites were, I guess they were walking down some walkway there, and they were going after the walkers, and they all had these machine guns, and they were like carrying them at their chest. You know, none of them had their guns, you know, up, doing it the right way. And I thought of that right away. I don't know why. But Carl, every time his dad would say something, you know, well, you'll have to choose your moment. And it's like, Carl, shut the hell up. Do you know what you're saying to this guy? Do you remember what, you know, his father did? Do you not understand that he's got some of that same psyche issues too? He's going to kill you or try to.
That's funny.
I don't think he's going to. I think Carl will not be killed. But I do definitely think that he's going to get shot at.
Carl says you got to be strong enough to wait for your moment.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he's saying words that will, I don't know if come back to haunt you is exactly the right turn of phrase, but will definitely be impactful later.
Yeah, everything he said. Everything.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I was uncertain about. If Ron is so unfamiliar with guns and such, how the hell does he know which bullets to get?
That's a good question. And maybe he didn't get the right bullets, but I think probably, and we probably see this, or this happens off camera, but Rick probably told him what kind of bullets it takes. I don't know. Maybe it was, no, I don't think the type of gun was mentioned other than he said, a handgun.
Get used to carrying it around for the weight of it.
Right. I don't think he said anything more than that, but,
Well, he didn't in the episode, and if he did off camera, then I would have to cry foul again, because that's something that's too important not to say on screen.
Well, it's, and you know, it's very possible that he didn't get the right bullets. I mean, I don't know, but that brings me to another point. Olivia, my God, she needs another job.
Yeah.
I mean, she was
pretty much the worst pantry keeper.
Not only that, she had Enid living with her, and we all know what Enid was doing when she was living with her. She was doing all sorts of things, going back and forth, you know, going over the fence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just like, so, you know, Carol stole things out of there. You know, and we see, Spencer do it a couple of episodes back, and now we see Ron do it. And there's probably been one or two other times that have happened that I'm not thinking of, but my God, she's terrible. She needs another job.
Yeah.
Anything, but you know, cause she's basically like the guard of those things. And she just doesn't, Yeah. Useless. Yeah. Talk about useless people in Alexandria. She's definitely one of them.
Yeah. For sure. All right. What? Anything else? Any other parting thoughts or anything? Let me glance through really quickly. I thought it was interesting that Glenn kept calling Alexandria home. And finally, Enid gets fed up with it. It's not my home. Me, me, me.
Carol and Sam's conversation.
Oh, yes. Carol, yeah. The only thing that keeps you from becoming a monster is killing. What do you think about that?
Probably not the best thing to say to Sam.
I would think probably not.
Especially when, you know, we go back to, was it Forget? It was either Remember or Forget. The episode where, you know, she says that she'll tie him to the tree and the monsters will come. Probably not the best thing to say to him, because Sam, I don't think she realizes how much of a problem Sam is having. And at the same time, Sam is too young. He's not going to understand that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sam doesn't survive the next episode.
Yeah, he doesn't really get nuance the same way that. Yeah,
because he's so afraid. He's so afraid that I think that when the time comes, he's going to freeze, or he's going to freak out, or he's going to do something that is going to cause himself to die and possibly others.
Mm.
So that's my take.
I really hope that Carol saves him. Because I just
Sam,
love...
come here. Cookies. I have some cookies for you.
I really... Well, what else? I really wanted him to come down when she asked him to. I thought that would have been very interesting, how his, you know, his mom is not having any success with it. But I guess Carol is the tortured kid whisperer or something. I don't know. Maybe, but it didn't happen. So,
yeah.
Alas.
And I guess the other thing that we didn't talk about, but we kind of did at the same time, is the unity, I guess, that we're starting to see, even though Rick seemed to be fighting it. But like, I liked how when he apologizes to Tara, you know, she says, well, that's what we do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we watch each other's back. And of course, I liked how Michonne was looking over the plans of
Deanna. I felt bad for Deanna, too.
Insert, who's Deanna?
Who's Deanna?
Yeah. I felt bad for her, honestly, because she was so hopeful that that Alexandria would survive, and then I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, I think Alexandria will survive.
The people won't be there, though. I'm 99% certain that they are going to have to bail, and they do not have an exit strategy out of that place. So I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of dying, because they are basically going to be trapped with this huge horde of walkers. And I mean, it's so easy to get overwhelmed in a situation like they're about to be in, where just suddenly you're surrounded and you can't kill them fast enough. And what are you going to do? You know? So
quick to the quarry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, sad trombones. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very fearful about what's going to go down next episode, actually, because they are so, I mean, that's one thing that they should have done the moment they started messing around with this big, huge ass horde of walkers. They should have planned an exit strategy from Alexandria. They had one at the prison. So I don't really know why they didn't set one up here.
Yeah. An evacuation strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, I don't know. I think they will have to, evacuate, certainly temporarily. I mean, I don't know what else to do unless, like I say, they're able to use the RPGs and tanker to draw them away somehow, or balloons. Quick, yeah. Launch the balloons. Right.
That's funny. Well, I don't know. To me, I kind of think that we're going to have another culling. Like when the Woodbarians hooked up with the rest of the, you know, prison gang.
Right.
And then whichever episode it was where they had just basically everybody got culled and
right.
like thinning the herd, as it were.
You talking when the governor did that, or are you talking about when the governor came back to the prison? Which one
Well, both.
Well, actually, both.
Yeah. I mean, the governor came back and, you know, well, he mowed down most of them, and then the rest of them joined up with our gang. And then he came back and kind of took care of the rest of them because, you know, the fence came down, the place got overrun, bada bing, bada bang, no more prison. I think something like that is going to happen. And they did have an exit strategy there. It just didn't really work out as planned, which, you know, things rarely do. But this time they don't even have that. So I just think everybody's going to, not everybody, but there's definitely going to be a thinning. And we're going to be left with certain key people like Jesse and Aaron and probably Aaron's boyfriend, I guess. I don't know. He might go. And then I think that's when they're going to run into Negan's group. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any idea. I've never read the comic. And I don't even know if they're going to follow the comic or what they're doing. But
yeah,
that's kind of what I think is going to happen. I think that, I mean, I don't know how else they're going to just randomly run into them other than the whole Daryl contact, you know.
Well, there's spoiler. Then there's the Jesus character that it's been announced that is coming probably in the second half, I imagine. I don't think he's going to show up in this episode. But
how are they going to run into him, though? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. But supposedly, Jesus is the kind of the stepping stone or the conduit for which they encounter Negan's group. But I will mention at this point, since you haven't mentioned it, that you did highlight the link on the Facebook page of Walking Dead, how they officially, well, they said that his name was Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Dwight in the comic, again, spoiler, is a member of Negan's group who does have, who does use a crossbow.
Right. Yeah. I guess we kind of surmised as much.
Yeah.
As far as what group they were a part of.
And I watched it again on Sunday, I guess. And throughout it, in the captions, she is clearly mentioned as Honey. But there is at least one time that Tina calls her Cher. And of course, Dwight's ex-wife is Sherry in the comic book. So I have to think that was Dwight and Sherry. I don't know why they called her Honey, unless they realized after the fact, oh, she should be Sherry. Okay, well, you know, we'll add this line afterwards or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Thought in the same link, didn't they call her Honey in that link?
Yes, they did. They did.
So,
but, well, that's what I mean. There was the one line that Tina said in the episode where she called her Cher.
Right.
And in the captions it said Sher.
Right.
But throughout they called her Honey. So that's what I'm saying, that maybe she was Sherry and not Honey, but who knows? I don't even remember her being called Honey in the episode.
I don't think she was.
Yeah, maybe Dwight.
That's just the character name that she had for, like, in the credits. I don't know. Who knows? Okay. Anything else about this episode before we move on?
I don't have anything, except I am very eager to next week. But nothing about this week.
I am eager and apprehensive a little bit. Just don't know what's
going on. I am very curious to know who was asking for help.
Mm.
I have to think that it was someone from Alexandria at this point. I don't think it was Glenn. It never sounded like Glenn to me.
I didn't think it was Glenn either.
I have to think that originally, although we thought that it was earlier in the day, it must be later in the day after the church falls, that we see them in Always Accountable and the Help. That has to be from Alexandria, them saying help. I just, you know, and I don't even think it matters who is saying the help, but it has to be someone from there.
I'm concerned that we're going to get another, like how in, I can't remember which episode it was, last season, when Daryl turns to the forest basically and says, come on out. And then,
oh, yeah,
like they don't really address that again. It's just kind of like, Noah's there. That kind of, right, that irritated me. I was like, what? How can you just, I mean, it was such a big deal because we're all like, who is that? And then you just, that was so.
You know, it's funny you say that because that was kind of a cliffhanger from Four Walls and a Roof, which was episode 3. And it was finally kind of answered, but not in the way that we had expected in the 7th episode, which was Crossed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Crossed.
Go with it.
But certainly the 7th episode. And it's funny that similar kind of pattern.
Mm-hmm. I guess they clearly have a pattern. Okay. Let's get into our listener feedback.
All right. And I will start, but I am going to say this. I edited the feedback. So if it sounds a little bit different than what you said, just keep that in mind. Spliced here and there, because it was a lot of banter going back and forth. But there's a lot of spoilers in this feedback. So we've tried to warn you throughout this episode. Ryan, he was actually the first one to give some feedback. His first thing was, right after it happened, knew it. Of course, he was talking about Glenn. He says, depending on how well they follow the comics, I have an idea what will happen in the next episode. I think someone is going to get shot and a few people won't make it. Can't wait for the death pool to open up. And of course, that's at walkingdeathpool.com. I make get some right this week. I don't know if Glenn will be the one or not. He's talking about later on. I'm kind of hoping it's Daryl, to be honest. And I have a feeling Carl will be wearing an eye patch soon. So.
Okay. Next, we have Judy with two eyes. She says, I wonder if they shot two episodes, one where Glenn dies and one where he didn't. After all, his name was gone from the credits, so maybe they were watching to see fan reaction, then decided what way to go. If so, we win. I hope that they did not do that, because I would find that to be a little irritating. Like, I don't mind, you know, catering to fans sometimes in some regards, but I would hope that you have a little bit more planning to your episode than just, you know.
Season 6, the director's cut.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't know. I just don't want them to do something in spite of or because of the fans necessarily. I mean, a little, you know, tributes and homages and that kind of thing I'm totally fine with. But there comes a, I mean, there's a time, I don't know, there's a time and a place. And I don't think this is one of them.
It wouldn't be the first time that they've done reshooting. I know that in season 2, the premiere, that was changed quite a bit. And I know the finale for season 3 was changed quite a bit.
I don't have a problem with reshoots. I just don't want them to do it because of,
yeah,
you know, they're perceived.
I don't think so in this case. That
I don't think so either, but
for one thing, I think it would be pretty expensive to do two endings, not to mention the fact that they would have had to, like, considering it's episode 7, there's another 9 episodes for the season that would have changed quite a bit depending upon whether Glenn is alive or dead. So, Kyle, and again, this has some comic spoilers. He's alive, but I have a bad feeling about what this foreshadows. I don't feel Glenn is going to be alive at the end of this season. And he says, I haven't seen Talking Dead yet. And I don't know if he ended up seeing Talking Dead later or not, but there's more comments. So I'm very curious what they say. And then later, he says, I'm hoping that they do some things different from the comic. While those who have read it might know what could be coming, it would be nice to see something different. And either way, I'm excited for what's to come. Don't forget about Judith. She's still in danger from Gimple. He's not afraid to off some kids in the show. Later again. I'm happy Glenn is alive, but I think his brush with death is temporary. I'm also starting to feel that Glenn might not be the one who dies. Perhaps it is someone's death that will truly have an impact on him and change him forever. And I think you know where I'm going with this. We all know Negan is coming, and I'm sure you have heard what has happened in the comics. So I could see they target someone else in the group instead of Glenn, because that would really catch everyone off guard. Carl will live. If Rick loses Carl, I don't see how he would ever recover from that, or the show recover for that matter. Fortunately, Carl, for the time being, is safe from death. Oh, and probably my favorite scene from the episode, and I hope the GIF works. Love, Tara, and the GIF that he, or GIF, depending on your religion, on the GIF, is a motion of Tara flipping the bird.
Ha, that's hilarious. I am of the GIF religion.
And sometimes I just don't know, because... And I'm a web developer by trade, but I say both.
All right. Yes, I love Tara as well. I think she is quite hilarious.
And she was a badass this episode.
I know. I was like, I don't understand. I mean, she was pretty, she seemed pretty stable there, you know, hanging on the outside the fence, I guess, pretty much. But I don't know.
But she also looked very pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Sometimes real life involves or interferes with your TV life. But I like her. She's awesome.
Me too.
Okay. So, moving on. Malika is our next feedbacker. And she says, I was glad we are finally able to get past this Glenn thing, for now at least. The thing I loved most about this episode is all of the setup for some possibly amazing things to come. We know we'll be introduced to Negan at some point in the second half of the season, so I'm sure the Kneelers who took Daryl's crossbow and motorcycle were/are a part of that group. We can't have nice things, so we'll expect Abraham, who was smiling his butt off by the end of last week's episode, and Glenn to kick it at some point this season. I can't wait to see how everyone does with this Walker invasion of Alexandria. Is that it for Alexandria? Is this how they're forced out so they have to meet this group who kneels and seeks shelter with them? We shall see. Can't wait to see what Carl does to Ron after Ron shoots him, if he shoots him. Have a great week. Thanks, Malika. You too.
And I should mention that I know I predicted Abraham dying. I don't remember when in the season. I think I thought that he would end up dying at the end of the season. But
are you talking about on your death pool?
In my death pool, yeah. Okay. And I still feel pretty good about that. I don't think Abraham will make it to season 7.
Aw, that's so sad.
I hope he does. Mm-hmm. The place will, or the show will, you know, not be the same without comments like Mother Dick and grade A butt steak idiocy.
And your precious leathers.
Precious leathers, yes. Yeah. I still don't know what he was talking about.
who knows? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, Sophie is next. She says, I'm torn about Glenn. I'm happy he's alive, but also a bit gutted because I expected more, like either a better death, which we'll probably get, or a survival that at least differed slightly from everyone's guess. I'm so fed up with the teens. I kind of hope Ron and Carl kill each other. That's awful, I know, but they are so annoying. However, if Ron kills Carl, Rick will go to bananas. He's already on the edge and acting like a major ass. I think he was unnecessarily mean to Gabriel. Gasp! I know. And the Alexandrians. He should give them a chance as long as they're only endangering themselves and not the whole group.
Yeah. Amen to that.
I love Denise's cheat sheet. I'm also happy Maggie finally received her sign from Glenn. I missed Aaron this episode. Yeah, so did I, actually. I was also very happy to see Carol and Michonne again. I'm guessing Daryl and the gang will arrive next week just in time to save everyone / lead the herd away with the tank plus RPGs, and everyone will be together again before the next big threat.
Might be wishful thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron was like when Rick was talking about like getting past the walkers and, you know, the whole thing that Spencer did, you know, Aaron wasn't around to tell anybody about the sewer thing. And Maggie also didn't mention it to Rick. So I'm surprised. Well,
we know how she is about holding on to stuff. Oh,
God, I don't understand why that didn't come up. Hopefully maybe it will be used next time. I don't know. Maybe that's how Glenn will get in. Enid and Glenn will get in through the sewers. I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. Jeff says, I don't know how to feel. I'm happy Glenn is alive, but anxious about next week. There will be so much to deal with in just 1 hour. You're always so succinct, Jeff. I like it. Okay. And then we have Faith, who says, not until the whole speech with Enid did I think Glenn would survive this season, at least this half of it. But I'm pretty sure he's going to make it to the hiatus. Morgan could be the next on the chopping block for sure. He's adamant about doing no harm, and I just think he'd rather die than kill someone, especially if it would save someone else. The only thing that keeps you from becoming a monster is killing. That was the most eerie thing uttered this season. I've said for a while now that Carol is the scariest character on the show. Rick may have torn someone's throat out, but Carol is manipulative, cunning, and always, always watching. She doesn't care who you are. If you're a threat, you will die. I cannot say that you're wrong.
Yeah, that's actually very, very true about Carol. I can't, yeah. Well put.
Yes.
All right. Dieta says, well, well, we have our answer to how Glenn survived. Dumpster diving at its finest. Awesome episode. I loved how Rick, Carol, and Michonne got with Morgan. Sorry, Morgan, you're in trouble now. Rick is right. You cannot survive without getting blood on your hands. Carol doesn't trust Morgan, and her suspicions are right on point. I can't believe Morgan is actually trying to help that wolf. Why? Oh, happy day when Maggie sees the balloons and comes a-running only to witness the tower falling on the fence, letting the walkers in. Mm. Okay, where are Sasha, Daryl, and Abraham? Shouldn't they be back by now? I thought they were going to run into Glenn and Eden by now. And I totally agree with Faith. Carol is the truth.
That's funny. Oh, she's scary. That's for sure. Scary beyond all reason.
But I love her scariness.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
That is a quote from The Emperor's New Groove. Scary beyond all reason. It's funny. I agree. You guys are all right. Everyone is right. Yay. We all get to be right. So if you guys want to give us your feedback, let us know what you're thinking. Chime in on the story, or the conversation, I should say, and tell us.
Be right.
It's right. And also be right, which is one of my favorite things to be. Or, you know, tell us how wrong we are or whatever. Then I think that you should definitely do that. And you can do that by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Lots of options there. But if you may or may not have noticed, the main way that we have collected most of our feedback since we started season 6 here is by the Facebook group. So if you are not yet a member of our Facebook group, go to facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm and send us a join request. We'll let you in. We promise.
And we appreciate every single one of you listeners and you Facebook group members.
Yeah. It makes it feel like it's not just us talking to each other when we get to interact with you guys and read your feedback and all that kind of stuff, too.
And then, of course, the deadline for submitting feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, the Tuesday after the episode has aired.
Right. And please remember, as always, we love audio feedback.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to hear any of your voices in a while, so let us know that you're not like feedback bots or something.
Yeah. Have to figure out a way to entice you guys.
Other than
doesn't involve begging. Financial.
Financial commitments or begging, which I ain't too proud to beg. So before we bid you all a fond farewell, we just wanted to remind everybody that it is shopping season. And if you are going to be doing any of your shopping online at, say, Amazon, then we would really appreciate it if you would use our Amazon affiliate link. And I will have links in the show notes and directions and whatnots for how to do that. But basically, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Amazon.
And we're still looking for iTunes reviews. It's been a few weeks, actually, since we've gotten any, but we really love to get some 5-star reviews if possible, but certainly honest reviews that don't tell us how much we suck because of some stupid thing.
Yeah, please, no personality attacks.
Yeah. Anyway, goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes, or just, you know, search for us. And of course, it's also worth mentioning, if you are listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher or what have you, please subscribe. That way you'll get our episodes when they come out right away.
Yes, very true. All right. Any final closing thoughts, predictions, anything?
Just there's going to be lots of killing.
All hell's going to break loose.
I think Deanna is not going to survive. I think not too sure about Spencer. I worry about Jesse, and I'm certain Ron's going to die. He should die.
Die, Ron, die.
Sam, of course. Yeah. And of course, any, you know, opportunity to, you know, get Gabriel in the
poor Father thing. Gabriel. Yeah. Not really.
Not really.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Less?
It's just going to be a great episode. Can't wait.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting for sure. And the name of that episode is Start to Finish. It was written by Matthew Negrete, and directed by Michael Satrazimus. And the description is as follows. After a few moments of peace, trouble finds its way to Alexandria again with a threat that may be too big to defeat.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's not vague enough for you. I don't know what would be. All right. So that brings us to the end of our episode. Until next time, I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.